The Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by BetQL. BetQL is your home for the info you need to make yourself a smarter better. Plus, the Super Bowl special gives you 50% off their premium data. Just go to BetQL.com, promo code SGP50. That's BetQL.com, promo code SGP50. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is the home for avid sports bettors, providing insights, analysis, and free betting picks. Better Than Vegas, it's like YouTube for sports betting. Make sure you subscribe to our page so you don't miss a pick. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by Better Edge. Better Edge is a stock exchange for sports bets, allowing you to buy and sell betting positions like a stock market. The best part is it allows you to bet with no VIG. That's right, no VIG betting that's legal in 40 states. Sign up at betteredge.com, promo code SGP for a free $10 bet. That's BETTOR edge.com, promo code SGP. Welcome everyone to the Die Hard Eagles podcast. I'm Sean, second the money green, with my fellow diehards, Robbie and Justin. Lot to get to in this press conference podcast. That's right. We're dedicating the podcast mostly to Nick Sirianni's press conference, a inauspicious debut in the city of Philadelphia. He was stumbling. He was stammering. And once again, we were trending on social media and the internet for looking like a inept franchise, or is it a little too much overreaction? And Nick Sirianni, maybe a decent head coach, and we shouldn't be judging off that one press conference alone. I've heard him on a couple radio shows. He sounded better, but I'll be honest, not a great first impression as far as him in the media. And certainly there is some irony of me stammering while bringing up the subject. So I think he's kind of figured it out a little bit, but we'll see. And I'll wait really until week one. But Justin, where are you at with the Nick Sirianni press conference?
I mean, yeah, it was a little concerning at first, and then I kind of sat back and thought about it. And I mean, the coaches we have nowadays are part coach and they're part politician. And I mean, you got to look back and you got to think about him. And if he's truly a good coach, what does it matter if he's stammering and stumbling across with his words? Now, I would agree. He should have been better prepared. I actually went golfing the next day, and first thing my buddy says to me is, "Whoa, what about Sirianni?"
And I know, hit him, it's so annoying, because the last time we were in the news, it was, "Oh, tanking. You guys look like complete shit. What are you doing?" It's really getting old.
But I mean, if he's a football mind, which is what it sounds like, what's coming out of his mouth to us and the media doesn't matter nearly as much as how he's talking to his players and motivating them. And if you listen to Lori before the press conference talk about him, the key thing that stuck out to me is he was talking about culture when he was talking about Sirianni and how he's able to build a culture. And through that culture, he's able to motivate and then teach and get guys inspired. So if he's able to do that, that's all that really matters.
Culture beats scheme, like the great Chip Kelly once said. Justin, you said us and media as if they're separate entities. We are the media. We are the Eagles fan media. Robbie, I know you sent the link of him on Cataldi, I think it was. And, you know, Cataldi kind of gave him a soft landing there and hopefully evened out his first impression. But listening to that still, I'm just like, I don't know. Again, I'm going to wait till he's actually coaching out on the field. But Rob, where are you at with Sirianni and his early media appearances?
Yeah, I think this is such a non-story. It is a it makes no difference, does not matter. The fact that everything's worked up on it is just ridiculous. Look, was it the best press conference I've ever heard? No. But look, in the guy's defense, he's standing there in an empty room talking to no one through Zoom. It's awkward to begin with. And then I'm sure he was nervous. It's his first head coaching gig. It's, you know, did he stumble a few times? Yes. Quite honestly, so did Jeffrey Lurie listening to his introduction. And, you know, given the fact that they waited a week for this press conference, you know, I guess you would have expected them to be more polished. But at the end of the day, who cares? Who cares what was said? You know he's not going to commit to anything in the press conference. It's way too early.
I know people. So, people were, you know, giving him stuff like, "I wish he had more answers on the quarterback." Like no one has answers on the quarterback. That would piss me off if he just comes out and says Jalen Hurts is the starter, or you know, like what do they expect him to say?
No, exactly. And I go back to what Justin said. Look, I want a guy that it's a good coach and that is a good coach, not only with relating to the players, but I want a guy that is good with X's and O's. I want someone that can break down, expose weakness and maximize our players. And from everything I'm reading about him, he has some strengths in those areas. It obviously is a lot to prove, but that's what matters. And I've watched all his other videos. I watched him with Dave Spadaro. You know, I know that's an Eagles thing, but, and then I heard him on Cataldi and some other interviews and I think he sounded fine. So I'm going to chalk it up. He was a little nervous. It's absolutely no big deal. He's got my vote of confidence going in.
Yeah. I'm still hanging in that area of cautiously optimistic until some sort of disaster happens. Is there a potential silver lining in this at all, Robbie? We saw some of his players standing up for him. Maybe he becomes a sympathetic figure. Is there any sort of positive you've taken from these early press showings from Sirianni?
No. I don't think it's a positive and I don't think it's a negative. Yeah. It is what it is. It's an introductory press conference. You know, I was happy to see a former player stood up for him. That means they liked him. But, you know, I'm not looking for a coach that's trying to get sympathy points, from his players as a true first step. So, it's nothing. It's inconsequential. It means nothing. What matters is what he's going to do from here and evaluating the talent and assembling his coaching staff, which we'll discuss and winning us some games.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely leaning in that area. Justin, do you have any sort of change of heart at all with the Sirianni hire through these past couple of weeks? I mean, I'll be honest, a little bit of doubt crept in listening to some of his explanations and him trying to, I don't know, just trying to explain himself. I do like the, simple talent takeover angle he was pitching, but are you, you, it must've impacted your thoughts on him a little bit, right, Justin?
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I got a little wishy-washy there to start. I started to question a little bit, but I mean, his responses ended up being, kind of typical canned responses. And then with some of the questions that he did that were more football related, I felt like he had a better flow. He was just speaking from his mind there, not worrying too much. I got a little bit of buyback in there. My biggest concern and my biggest thought, actually, not really concern, was just thinking about how he was going to relate to our players. And I think the good thing about him and the fact that he wants to build this culture and that he's a hard ass, they keep saying, but a player's coach at the same time, which I'm not sure how that works out. But I guess he holds guys responsible at the same time. I can see guys like, Kelsey buying into that if he's still around, which it seems like he's going to be, and Graham and Slay. And if you're able to get guys like that to buy in, then the rest should be pretty easy. So I'm not overly concerned.
Well, and it's interesting.
Let's not forget, I don't think Doug Peterson ever dazzled the media and he won us a Super Bowl. So it just shows you how little these press conferences
ice cream,
really
Rob,
matter.
Ice cream.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll never forget that video of him going to town on that water bottle. I still don't know. You got to buy that water bottle a dinner first, Doug. I don't know what was going on there. You know, one angle I saw that kind of, as far as like finding that balance of being a hard ass and relating to the players, because I think that is, it's a fine line, right? Like you don't want to be so soft, but then also you want the players to listen. It's interesting, as far as the position coaches, the two old position coaches, the super like the older guys are Stoutland on the offensive line, their new defensive line coach. Those are the older guys. And it's kind of interesting because those are some of our oldest players are on the O-line and D-line. I wonder if they kind of had that thought coming into it. And then, Sirianni and a bunch of the, position coordinators and QB coaches, all those other guys are relatively young. I wonder if, and maybe I'm giving them too much credit, any chance, Robbie, that was actually something they planned coming into this?
No, I don't think so. I think the reason Stoutland's still there is because he's a great coach.
He's awesome.
And, they don't want to lose him. And especially with guys like Mailata developing, that continuity is important. So I don't think it had anything to do with that.
And in fact, one of the things I'm really thrilled about, quite honestly, is the fact that it really appears they've let Sirianni assemble his own staff with his own guys. They didn't force anyone on him. We're a very young staff, but I'm fine with that. If these guys are willing to work and, you know, cohesion with amongst the coaching staff, in my opinion, is very, very important. So it's great to see that apparently Sirianni's been able to bring his own guys in there.
Now, Robbie, you were on the text chain saying that you could have walked up cold, no preparation, and had a better introduction press conference. Give us one line from the media. I'll play the role of the reporter. Mr. Donches, what is your plan at the quarterback position?
Look, my plan at the quarterback position is these guys are going to compete. We're going to work hard. We're going to tailor an offense to both of their strengths. And at the end of the day, we're going to go with whoever wins the competition. That's it. I'm not promising anything to anyone. That's what I would do. And I will say, I am happy that Sirianni has said there's going to be competing at every position. I know he didn't directly address the quarterback position, but I think that's what we need. We need guys competing and earning the job. No one's jobs is safe.
Well, that's interesting because you're right. Competition. He's very selective because he keeps talking about competing and how competition is important, but he doesn't specifically say QB competition. He's kind of danced around it. Justin, maybe I'm theorizing too much, but do you think the fact that he keeps hyping up competition and competing and the fact that Carson Wentz hasn't said anything and it has remained silent, are those related in your mind?
I think they certainly can be. One thing that I did take away from this press conference is the fact that, you know, like Rob just pointed out, he said he's going to be evaluating everybody, which I really like to hear. Number one, because it means he's not just giving the job to Carson, who seems to have become whinier and whinier with his silence that's been taking place. But the thing that actually made me happy too is it doesn't seem like he's as much of a puppet as I originally thought he was going to be for Howie and Lori. It seems like they're going to let him make his decisions. Originally, when he was hired, everybody kept saying, oh, they got him for Carson because he's a disciple of Frank Reich. You know, he's going to be able to work with Carson and bring him back to 2017 shape. But as this progresses, it seems like he really is going to have, you know, an open evaluation competition take place and really see who is going to be the best fit for this team. He talked about scheming to talent as well. And I know we'll get to it later. I mean, he brought on Brian Johnson, who apparently has a good relationship with Hurts to begin with. So,
yeah, no, I mean,
I was just going to say, and another thing that I like about him that we've heard is, you know, in Indianapolis, they had three different quarterbacks in three different years, and they had to tailor the offense to fit those guys' strengths. So I really like hearing him talk about you got to fit. You can't put the square peg in the round hole. You got to tail your offense to the strengths of your players.
Yeah. I mean, calling back to our buddy Chip, that was the most frustrating thing about Chip was that he was trying to run the same offense for Nick Foles as Michael Vick. Like he really didn't adjust enough. And Chip was so precious with his scheme. I think that was really part of his downfall, along with him being kind of a shitty GM. You mentioned Brian Johnson, the QB coach. That's an interesting hire. You know, he's known Jalen Hurts since he was four and he tried to recruit Hurts. And then people are saying like, oh, don't look into this, but how can you not? You know, Brian Johnson, pretty nice pedigree coming in here. They also brought in Shane Steichen, offensive coordinator, who was calling plays for the Chargers last year, which not amazing, but I certainly think a lot of things went right for that offense. And whatever his degree of helping out with the, you know, with the quarterback there, that's got to be huge. Jonathan Gannon, that defensive coordinator, he was a former Colts, position coach and someone they brought in and a guy that was at least getting, you know, some other looks and then closing it out with their special teams coordinator, Michael Clay. I think they got him from the 49ers. So, you know, I mean, really what thoughts do I have on the special teams coordinator? Hopefully they can explain how to make a 30 yard field goal. But really the Brian Johnson thing's pretty interesting to me. And man, I know people, it's funny on the internet where like everyone's giving Carson Wentz shit for being silent. And then, you know, people like have to do the zag and they're like, wow, I can't believe Carson is getting all this shit just for not saying something. It's like, how would he not get shit for this? I mean, a new coach comes to town, a guy, and you know, Wentz prides himself on these welcome to Philadelphia tweets, nothing for coach Nick Sirianni. And Nick Sirianni, if you really thought Wentz was going to be in there and be in the mix, wouldn't that have come up in these interviews where it's like, hey, I talked to Carson, and he did talk to Carson. I we haven't gotten a ton of insight on it, but it's like, hey, I talked to Carson. He's super excited to get back and fix what's wrong. To me, it's almost like Carson Wentz doesn't realize how bad he played in 2020. Rob, is Wentz in denial?
He's in denial. And you know, the key thing about this is, yeah, you're right. Silence can be construed in many different ways, but Wentz could end the silence.
Yes.
He can clarify everything right now. I mean, all I want to hear him say is, I'm going to work my tail off this off season, and I'm going to come back better than ever next year, ready to go. That's all I want to hear. And he's not done it, but you know who has done it? Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Just yesterday, we saw him give an interview, and that's exactly what he said. I want to hear that from Carson too, that he's willing to put the work in, nothing's going to be handed to him, and that he's going to win the job.
It's insane. We haven't even heard from Wentz that he wants to win the starting job back, that he wants to be the franchise quarterback from the Eagles. Justin, to me, it seems like Wentz doesn't want to be here. And I'm basing that off the fact that he hasn't said anything. Is that crazy to jump to that conclusion?
No, I don't think it is, considering, as you just pointed out and Rob pointed out, it'd just be so simple for him to come out with a tweet, just a quick comment, or even just a comment through Sirianni saying, like you said, right? I talked to Wentz. He wants to be here. He's ready to compete. He wants to be the starting QB. Even if he says that Carson says he wants to be the starting QB, that's enough for everybody to think that he's willing to compete in that situation, right? But he hasn't put it to bed, which makes you think that his only interest is getting out of Philly, which at this point, I mean, does any Philly fan still want him here? Because he doesn't seem like he wants to be here.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly hasn't made that clear. And, you know, we've highlighted all the issues of the dead cap hit and what could they get back for Carson. But, you know, breaking news, that Jared Goff trade, how can that not have an impact on the potential Carson Wentz trade? Now, certainly it's tough to compare because, you know, the Lions got Goff and then all these picks and, you know, we wouldn't be involving a player in the trade, but just seeing what the market was set for a slight upgrade off of Stafford from Goff and what, you know, what was all packaged around that. I think there is a very real world where Carson Wentz gets traded for a first round pick. It's just that simple. Now we're hearing about Jimmy G possibly on the move, Kirk Cousins possibly on the move. So I think this makes it very real. And the fact that this big deal kind of came this early, I think for the Eagles is good as far as getting rid of Wentz. It sets the value for a quarterback really high, even a flawed quarterback and you know, one that didn't have a great year. So I think it makes it a much better trade market for Carson Wentz. And, you know, listen, we saw the Rams eat up what, $22 million in dead cap for the Eagles. You know, the Wentz deal they'll eat up more, but certainly I think it makes it a real possibility. And I just think it has to have an impact on it. Justin, are you on the same page or is it, doesn't matter?
I think it might have a slight impact only because, you know, Carson has played at such a high level in the past, but he does have his injuries. The biggest concern though right now is the fact that he's not a team player. So who wants to invest in that type of guy, right? He's not willing to put in the time and the effort. And all he's done this past year, this past season, is regress, and not put in the time even in the season to try and get better. So I don't know. I really don't know what the market is for a guy like that who had such a high ceiling 3 years ago now and has, you know,
well, and
wayside
and,
now.
And with the trade though, I think all it really takes is one team to kind of fall in love with them, a coach. And, you know, obviously there's been tons of talk about the Colts and reuniting with Reich. Although now there's rumors that maybe Andrew Luck is coming back out of retirement and looking to play with the Colts. It'll certainly be interesting. It really just takes one, maybe two, to drive up the price to get that Wentz trade going. Rob, I mean, where are you at with this Wentz trade and kind of where the landscape is now?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, Wentz is tradable if the Eagles want to trade him, because the undesirable part of the trade is on the Eagles side.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are going to have to swallow all the dead cap. So if they're willing to do that, he becomes tradable. I don't think a first round pick is out of the question.
Yeah,
I
late do think first round.
I do think a GM could convince themselves that they could fix Wentz, that Doug didn't know what he was doing, that the offense was not tailored to Wentz, and in the right system, he could flourish again. But I completely disagree with you guys that the Jared Goff trade helped Wentz's value. I mean, let's actually look at that trade. They traded Wentz for Stafford and gave up
Goff for Stafford.
Goff for Stafford. I'm sorry. And gave up like two first round picks and like two thirds, I think, or something. Right. So really Goff was almost a throw in that trade. I mean,
yeah.
what value did he really bring to that trade when you actually sit down and look at it? I don't think much. So if I'm the Eagles, I don't really want to use that trade as a benchmark for what I'm getting for Wentz.
No, you're probably right, because everyone talked about how it was basically two number ones for Stafford or whatever, and then the extra one for them to take the Goff contract on. It's a little hard to match. I guess for me, you're right. Maybe it doesn't help with the value, but I think it does help set the precedent of, just getting this deal done and not being embarrassed by eating all this dead cap. And the fact that they traded.
The
yeah. Right. That they don't look like complete assholes for trading the number two pick overall, because the number one pick overall just got traded. And I definitely think especially Howie and Lurie look at the optics of these things. So the fact that the precedent was already set by Goff being unloaded, kind of paves the way for Wentz being unloaded. I know it sounds crazy, but I do think there's something in their heads there that, like, well, we traded to get up for him number two overall. But now that the fact that the Goff trade's already gone through, I think it makes it a little easier for them. I don't know. I know what you're saying on the contract though, Robbie, because certainly the fact that they're setting the precedent of basically giving up draft capital to take a bad contract would hurt the Eagles' case. But I don't know. I'd have to look at the numbers. I think the fact that they're eating up so much of that dead cap makes Wentz's contract on the other end a little bit better. But
I'm pretty sure, and I could be totally misremembering this, but I think when you looked at it, the actual dead cap space being eaten by both sides was relatively similar in that trade. In other words, the Lions had to eat somewhere around $20 million for Stafford's contract, and the Rams had to eat somewhere around 20 some million for Goff's contract. So I still just think at the end of the day, it didn't help us. And don't forget, everyone knew Stafford wanted out, so they weren't going to keep him. So it's not like they had this big leverage, like, well, we'll just keep him next year, because everyone knew that wasn't a possibility.
Well, and according to, whatever the buzz online, there were multiple teams interested in there. So I think that did help kind of drive up the price. But for me, I and maybe I'm overreacting, but I think it's just, we're in a situation where we have to unload Wentz, simply because, okay, there is certainly a world where, even before they hired Sirianni, we were thinking, well, let's see who they bring in as a coach, and maybe that new coach with a new system can connect with Wentz and get things straightened out, and get Wentz back to being where he was, and make it salvageable for him to stay in Philadelphia. But even just early on now, and maybe I'm crazy, but I think just even this first like week and a half since they hired Sirianni and Wentz being quiet, I think in my head, I can't imagine a world where all of a sudden it clicks, him and Sirianni are on the same page, he's busting his ass, and he's playing much better and taking the Eagles into the playoffs. It's just the formula of just, cutting bait and going into Hurts just seems so much more realistic. Am I overreacting, Justin?
No, I don't think you are. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. I think it's a decent idea. I think we could unload him at some point, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. And the other thing is, when do we unload him? Do we unload him pre-draft, during the draft? When is the perfect time to unload Carson Wentz? And now with Sirianni here, what do we do? Robbie, you texted, you threw this out, Kyle Pitts at number six. he's kind of in the latest guy that, you know, some mock drafts are putting towards the Eagles. I'm against it. I mean, I like Kyle Pitts's game and certainly a playmaker, but I don't know. I mean, do we really need another tight end? I know it seems like we're all, you know, it's not official, but we're going to be moving on from Zach Ertz. I don't know. I just think we never really got the most out of Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. I know there's always talk of like, oh, they're going to run the 12 personnel. It's great. It just doesn't seem the league is like that. Like all the teams that are super successful run three receivers and a tight end. I don't know. I feel like you're almost spreading yourself too thin there. What's the case for Kyle Pitts? Where are you at with that, Robbie?
Well, I mean, I threw it out because I saw it online. I wasn't advocating for it. Look, I don't know a ton about him. I've watched a couple stats. He looks like a stud. It's just hard for me to sell that. Why that tight end is our biggest need at number six. And
yeah,
you know, number six is a little high for a tight end, in my opinion. If you were at 10 or something, fine. Would I be absolutely devastated if we took him at six? No, because I do think it could create some huge matchup problems with a coach that knows how to use it. But I just think we have better needs. You know, I really think they're going to have to, I know Howie's going to have final say, but they're going to have to get input from Sirianni in this draft. And we got to get an idea of what the identity of this team is. What's he looking to do on offense? What's he looking to do on defense? You know, we know previously linebackers were never prioritized with the Eagles. Is that going to change with the new defensive coordinator? I mean, Howie has some work to do in terms of getting in sync with his coaches, in my opinion. So I'm not absolutely opposed to Pitts. I think it's a little high, but at the end of the day, if we took him, I do think he'd be a matchup nightmare in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, I'm certainly in that headspace where, I guess Devonta Smith right now, but I'm scared of the Eagles taking a receiver that high. Maybe I'm just gun shy. Justin, where are you at? Are you considering Pitts at all at number six? What would you like them to do?
I guess my thing would be is if their intel is telling them that he can be a guy like Kittle or Kelsey, I think you go for it. I mean, you know, those guys are studs. They can make big plays. They get you out of pinches, especially on third down. And basically a great tight end now is like a great receiver, right? Just a little bit bigger, especially if they could break tackles. You can have some great plays with them. Do I think they should go for it? I'm in the same camp as Rob actually right now. It just really comes down to what's going to fit best for Sirianni. I wouldn't mind them looking into the secondary and just kind of getting that in line at the moment, but we'll see. I guess it just depends on what these guys are thinking right now with this team. They got a lot of options and it'll be interesting to see which way they go.
Yeah. I always like a lineman early because they feel like it's tougher to mess up, but I don't even know what we would do there. Closing things out, Super Bowl predictions, Super Bowl 55. We've been going hardcore on Sports Gambling Podcast. Just wrapped up, Jesus, four straight days of a Super Bowl podcast. Make sure you check those out. I gave out my final Super Bowl predictions, Chiefs 31. I almost said Patriots, but Bucks 21. I think it's going to be just below the under, and I think the Chiefs get it done. Robbie, where are you at with the Super Bowl?
You know, this game perplexes me, quite honestly. I when I saw that line come out at I think it started at -3. It's still around there. Some sites I've seen 3.5. It kind of blew me away, and I just, it seems like it should be such an easy Chiefs pick. I mean, that offense is just so hard to stop. But it just seems like everyone's giving so much weight to the Tom Brady factor. And I just don't know if it's enough. I'm with you. I think the Chiefs win it. I'll say like 34 to 21. I'm in the same range as you. I just think the Chiefs are hard to stop. I know it's at home, but there's less of a home field this year. And as experienced as Brady is, I just don't think it's enough to go toe to toe with that offense.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay, their path to victory, I think it's just that D-line pushing around the Chiefs and taking advantage of it. Justin, where are you at? Are you making it a clean sweep? You going Chiefs? Or you think there's some action on the dog there with the Bucks?
I got to stick with Tom. I mean, how do you go against the GOAT? I know he's supposed to
ask,
you know,
Nick Foles.
Mahomes, I know, is that, great.
That's awful amazing. From an Eagles fan.
But you know, everybody loves Mahomes. I completely get it. I completely understand it, but I mean, until you dethrone the king, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, so I'm going to stick with Tom for this one. I think I'm even going to put some money on the money line.
Ooh, okay.
Just to see what happens and go from there. Do I think KC can win it? Obviously, certainly. I think it's probably 50-50 at this point. Maybe even a little bit more towards KC, but I can't bet against
finals, Tom. Final score predictions.
34-31 Tampa Bay.
Ooh, okay. Shootout and the over. All right, next podcast, maybe there'll be some more Eagles news to break down. Draft right around the corner, OTAs, which hopefully they'll be doing. So stay tuned and make sure you subscribe to the Die Hard Eagles podcast, wherever great podcasts are downloaded. For the Die Hard Eagles podcast, I'm Sean Stacking the Money Green. For Robbie, for Justin, go Birds.
Go Birds.
Birds.